Thank you so much for joining us today for the Word for Life Radio Ministry. We've been talking about bees and beekeeping, and it's been a blessing to be talking to Chris and Zach Werner, father-son team that are here in the studio. And as we were finishing up our broadcast last time, we were talking about the making of a queen. And it was decided by some of the worker bees that they needed another queen. Tell us about that and the application from that story.
Well, when a queen begins to fail because of either injury, old age, or the error on the part of the beekeeper, perhaps he crushes the queen inadvertently when he's manipulating the hive, okay, the bees must go to work and raise a new queen.
Okay.
They do this by selecting a larva that is very young. It could be any of the larva, but a young larva, and feeding it royal jelly. This is a special food that only queens are fed. And what it does is it triggers physiological changes in that larva that will only occur in a queen.
Okay.
The interesting thing is that the royal jelly will not give the new bee, the queen, eternal life, but it will give it a lease on life that is incredible.
Mm.
Queens can live 3-4 years.
Okay.
A regular worker, and had that just developed to be a regular worker, would have lived about 5 weeks.
5 weeks.
And worked herself to death.
Wow.
The transformation that occurs, some of the changes, certainly not all of them, are the fact that she will have fully developed ovaries.
Okay.
She will no longer have pollen baskets on her legs or a long proboscis or nectar-sucking tongue.
Right.
She will have a completely different wing structure. She will be a much larger individual. Mm. Her stinger will be smooth instead of barbed. These are all changes that occurred because of the royal jelly that she was fed.
I see.
And I think Zach might want to speak to some of the changes that occur in our life when we take on Christ.
I think one of the most amazing changes in the bee world, anyways, to me, when a bee larva becomes a queen, is the stinger. Because that stinger for a regular worker bee has barbs on it.
Okay.
And when they go to defend the hive, the colony, and they sting a predator, their stinger stays in the predator.
Okay.
And when they remove themselves, that stinger is a part of their body, and they end up dying as a result of that.
Okay.
The amazing thing is when a queen emerges, her stinger doesn't have the barbs, as my dad mentioned.
Oh, okay.
And that stinger that once would have brought death when she used it,
yeah,
now no longer carries that same weight.
That's why she can live for 3 or 4 years.
Yes, that's one of the big reasons. But the interesting application is when we are lost and we don't have Christ, the ultimate end of our lives is because of sin.
Right, right.
Sin brings death, and we see that all throughout the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But when we've been saved, although we still have our sin nature, it's still there.
Right.
That sin is no longer what brings us separation from God. It doesn't bring us the same judgment that it once did.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the transformation that has taken place because of our relationship with Christ, that sin nature no longer carries the same weight. And in the same way, that queen, that stinger that she carries no longer carries death.
Right, right.
Now it's a tool that she can use.
Mm-hmm.
It still is a reminder, I think, to us as our sin nature is that we're still here on earth. We're still humans.
Right.
We still have the sin nature.
Right.
But we don't have the same fear of death that we
mm-hmm.
once did before our relationship with Christ. And we've been changed. We put on a new man. Because of that, sin no longer has that same hold
right.
on us.
Right, right. Praise the Lord for that.
You know, in talking about the sting, it's interesting that most people want to know, how many times, Chris, have you been stung?
Oh, okay.
I speak to children, or we have a tour. That's one of the things they always want to know. And I can tell you that just a rough estimation in the years I've been keeping bees, it's somewhere between 30 and 40,000 times. And I'm still here.
Yeah,
and
you
can
sure
be
are.
A testimony.
Yep, you're
I'm
still
all,
here.
I look all right.
Right.
I've got 7 children, so
right.
it hasn't interfered with anything.
However,
the interesting thing about a sting is that it was designed into the bee by God to drive away predators.
Uh-huh.
I mentioned predators a moment ago. Things that prey on bees like skunks, raccoons, brown and black bears, they will be dissuaded from tearing the hive up generally
mm-hmm.
by that sting.
Right.
And certainly human beings are. Now, when you're stung, you feel the pain for about a minute, and then the swelling starts. The swelling isn't the venom so much as it is the histamines in your body that are coming
to deal
to the,
with the
correct.
Okay.
And that can be very painful.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now, interestingly about sin, what happens if we don't pay attention to the consequences of sin? If we just allow ourselves to sin and the conscience that is pricking us, we ignore it and we become calloused, we get deeper and deeper into sin. I think that there's a great application here that it's a good thing to be chased away from a beehive when you get stung.
Sure.
That's the purpose of the
sin. That's the idea,
If you don't, you get yourself into a world of trouble. Mm-hmm. Just ask any black bear that tears up a hive or a skunk. The same way, if we listen to our conscience when we begin to dwell on something in our mind a little too long, it can protect us. If we don't, we find ourselves slipping into the sin. So there's a very good application. Sting's a good thing. I don't look at it as a bad thing. But I will admit, at this point, to the sting, we're calloused.
Okay.
Not so much to sin, thankfully, but to the sting.
Right, exactly. Now, you talked about the beekeeper. You guys are beekeepers. How would you make an application to us today?
I think that it's really seen, you know, when we look at what we're doing as a beekeeper and managing the beehives, the colonies individually and as a whole, we're doing all that we can to make sure, again, that they're taken care of, that they're protected, the needs are met. We are constantly studying new ways of treatments, making sure that if any new virus or pest comes along, that we are aware of it so that we can be prepared to fight against that. And in the church, I believe that the position that we hold as beekeepers is mirrored in that of a pastor.
I see,
It's the duty of the pastor to protect the flock, to study, to know the Bible, to understand the foundation and how to apply it. And, you know, there's a lot of people that buy bees, but they don't keep them.
Okay.
We are beekeepers, meaning that we keep the bees that we have. And there's a lot of churches where there are men that would like to call themselves pastors, but they're not keeping the sheep. They may get sheep and either wear them down or run them off, but they're not keeping them.
Right.
And I think that, you know, we see examples, warnings really that Paul gives to Timothy and young men who are preachers in the New Testament of how to take care of the flock, of how they were to live and to be an example. And I'm often reminded when we're working with the bees and all the work that it takes to take care of the beehives and the fact that we need to stay on top of them and keep an eye on their needs and also ourselves be studied in how to take care of them. It's also important that a pastor do the same, that his duty is to keep the flock and to make sure that they're fed, their needs are taken care of. If there's a particular area where they're struggling, they're falling behind in, to do what he can himself. When we see a colony that is weak and sickly, oftentimes we'll take that colony and stack it up on top of another healthy one and allow them to be a boost and a strength to that other weak one.
Yeah.
And it's not uncommon for a pastor to, in wisdom, see maybe a couple or a family that's struggling and be aware of another stronger family in the faith and get them together to where they can help one another.
Right,
and that iron begins to sharpen iron. And and it's important that we're aware of that, not only in the church setting, but also in the family, in the home, and being aware of the needs of family members and making sure those needs are met. And again, I'm constantly reminded in working with the bees about the way that God designed the church and the family to work and really the example that he set forth in his word that when that's functioning properly, how sweet a union that can be and how much it can produce. When it's struggling, when it's weak, it's not going to be producing very much fruit. It's not going to be as pleasing. It's going to be a lot more work. Whereas when they're healthy and functioning as they ought, they basically do the work themselves, and we don't have to do a lot.
Right.
And I'm sure many pastors would attest to that, that when their church is running smoothly, the people in the church are the ones that are going out and winning souls, and they're producing fruit, and the church is growing, and it's functioning as it ought. But when there's sickness in the church, when the church is struggling, there's a lot of work for the pastor. He becomes the one doing the witnessing, the soul winning, the encouraging, the strengthening, and it's the church itself is struggling.
I would say, too, that location has a lot to do with the productivity of the hives. 3,400 hives, and we treat each one as an individual, just as a good pastor treats each individual in his church individually.
That's a good point,
But we'll find that some of our locations will yield well consistently year after year, and other bee yard locations perhaps only yield every 3 or 4 years, some never. And I think giving heart to some pastors who might be listening now, or church members, church that perhaps is struggling or not growing, and a great deal of effort's been put into it, you know, the Lord gives the increase.
Right, right.
And sometimes a location, the Lord's not ready.
Right, right.
To grow that work at that time.
Right.
And we know that persistence pays off in the beekeeping world, but we only allow ourselves about 5 years.
Okay.
After that, we'll move on. And I think that's a good rule, too, in the ministry. Give the Lord the time.
Right.
But at the same time, recognize that maybe moving on is in order at some point and starting to work somewhere else.
Right.
The Lord will give the increase. We can't make it happen.
My middle son tried to start a church and spent 2 or 3 years in that attempt and just couldn't get it off the ground. And so decided, well, okay, I'll get back in the youth ministry. And so his next ministry had 600 teenagers.
Oh, my.
and so you're able to see, okay, I can see God taught him some very important lessons in trying to start a church that he was able to share with those 600 teenagers. And so faithfulness is what the Lord is looking for. And we know that in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that God gave some evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. It's the saints that do the work of the ministry.
Exactly.
And just like the worker bees do the work, it says here that an entire bee gathers in her lifetime how much honey?
Between an eighth and a tenth of a teaspoon of honey.
And the bee works and works and works for 5 weeks?
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not a lot, but yet when they work in unity, a 60,000 bee hive, 60,000 individuals, here in the state of Wisconsin, for example, can produce an abundant crop of, say, 100 to 120 pounds in excess of the 300 to 400 pounds that they used over the summer.
Okay.
And that they'll need to go through the winter.
Right, right.
And that's all God's grace.
And the same thing is true for churches, isn't it?
That's right. We're to work and be busy and to stay diligent.
Right.
But yet God, we need to be aware, gives the increase. It's all his grace. And we see that in the honey crop. And I think we see that in your son's 600
teenagers. Right, exactly. You know, folks, you've been listening to these broadcasts the last few times. I trust that they've been encouraging to you to understand that faithfulness, understand that working together in unity, and understanding that God has a place for us. Wherever you are, bloom where God has planted you. You'll be a part of his work, a part of his ministry, and we trust that one day when we see the Lord, he'll be able to say of each one of us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Till the next time, may the Lord bless you in a fantastic way.